Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello and welcome to episode 274 of Dogcast Radio, which includes our visit to Crufts 2024.
It's all about the dog, and for me, I've never had a purebred dog. I've always had rescues, and the fact that we can be here with a rescue and celebrate them alongside all of the purebred dogs is really amazing.
But before that canine cornucopia, let's explore, can dog friendly really be neurodivergent friendly too? To talk about that, we have Michelle Fulia, who, as you will hear, has many roles. I'm going to use your description from your Instagram. You are a therapeutic coach, you're a bibliotherapist, that sounds interesting, writer, author, speaker, word alchemist, I love that, and a clinical hypnotherapist. Wow. Oh, wow. don't hypnotise me this morning, though. Go on. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, actually, that our... It's just an interesting little bit off topic, but actually we are constantly being hypnotized while we're fully awake. We just don't realize we are. So when we watch TV and we get engrossed into something, we're in trance. That's actually trance state. It's the same state you can go into when you're deliberately getting hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
Drive, and you know, sometimes when you drive and you go, oh, I don't even remember how I got there. I must have been on autopilot. That's when you're in trance state. So you can be in trance, in hypnotic trance, while doing everyday things and not be aware, which is how marketing companies get the messages that they need to get into you to buy their products, is by actually, it's a form of hypnotherapy because they're pushing their messages while you're in different states of trance all through your awake day. Wow. So you subconsciously give the messages without even being aware of it. So yeah, it is actually really simple, and it's very easy. And people think like it's this whole process, I'm going to put you under, you know, and it really isn't. It's just a very deep form of relaxation, and people can go really deep, can go very, very light, always in control. You know, this stuff you see on TV and there's like performances, and, you know, you can't make somebody do something they don't want to do. Yeah. You've got to bypass their safety mechanisms in their brain. So it's not so easy to... You know, like I'll put you under, and but at the same time, just in day to day, we are constantly receiving subconscious messages all around us. Everything we do, everything.
Yeah.
Everything we read, watch. That's why it's called programming.
Yes.
TV programming you.
And as you say, it works on you. It works on you because, I always go, oh, advertising doesn't work on me. But if I see enough of it, I'm like, I start thinking, oh, I want that thing actually. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. well, we'll put our message across today consciously. We won't go for subconscious sneakiness. Yeah. We'll go for consciousness. Okay. I trawl the internet looking for interesting articles or articles that I can agree with or disagree with. And I spotted one that announced, and the headline was, "To me, it's a fad, a fashion. The rising demand for dog-friendly UK holidays divides opinion." And I was like, yes, this is one that I can wade in on. So I went to look at it. And I read it and I took a deep breath and I was like, I agree with her actually. So, but I thought it would be interesting to talk to you because you do raise some really, I think, absolutely right and very interesting points about this. So if that's OK, I will quickly read the bit of the article that concentrates on you, and then you can get your right to reply. The media, as you say, the media never just goes, here's a story, there's the facts, bye-bye. It just goes, oh, here's a story, and let's put our spin on it. So, this is what the article in The Guardian said. Frolicking on the beach with your pet, then curling up in front of a pub fire may sound idyllic, but not everywhere is dog-friendly. This is a good thing, according to Michelle Fulia, a former animal welfare worker and author of a children's book, Poppy's Miracle. We will be talking about Poppy's Miracle in a bit, based on the story of her own rescue dog. Despite her doggy bona fides, Fulia believes too many owners fail to train their dogs properly, which causes distress to neurodivergent people such as her and her daughter. This is the quote. To me, it's a fad, a fashion. We bought into this idea of dogs being allowed everywhere without consideration to the rest of the public, she said. I have had to leave cafes and meetups with friends because of noisy dogs. It's not that I'm anti-dog, it's purely that I want to go somewhere and sleep in peace or relax in the garden or in a pub or cafe, but people's dogs bark at each other or they'll be yelping for food. End quote. She believes establishments should only allow dogs that have completed the Kennel Club's Good Citizen Dog Training Scheme. It's early in the day, I'm reading this appallingly, but that's the quote. So, I mean, basically, yes. Yes, absolutely. I expected to sort of go, oh, I don't agree with this. And I was like, oh, I agree with this. So was that sort of the entirety of the conversation, or was there a lot more to it? Or what would you like to say now?
It was a conversation I had with the journalist for about almost an hour. So obviously in that hour, you know, we talked about so many aspects of the article he was writing, which was about the popularity of dogs being accepted in cafes, restaurants, and accommodation providers, you know, for holidays. And his point was that bookings have gone up by kind of some significant, the bookings have gone up since a lot of accommodation providers accept dogs, which is fair enough. And I can see why, of course it would. So we had a conversation for about an hour, and then he just derived the parts that he felt would be most, I wouldn't say, you know, it's always about what's most popular and what people is like you. You know, you read that headline and you go, you know, let's have he's talking about kind of, but they have to do that. That's their job. And I have absolutely no problem with that, because that is how you're going to get people. It's the form of hypnotherapy we talked about. You use things to catch the mind before it scrolls on to the next thing. So that was absolutely fine. But we did talk about it a lot more than obviously what you could include in the article. Yeah, I think for me, what my point really was, there are kind of many aspects to that. As a neurodivergent person, I am highly sensitive to noise, and I'm not alone. It's a very, very high number of people who have hypersensitivity to noise, and it could be because of autism or ADHD, and it could be sensory processing disorder. It can be misophonia. There are so many conditions that can make you highly sensitive to noise, as can post-traumatic stress disorder. And I have complex post-traumatic stress disorder from previous trauma. I have fibromyalgia, which is an autoimmune illness, and I also am neurodivergent. So, and I'm not unusual, you know, like people go, oh, blimey, that's a lot. But actually, I'm not unusual. And my daughter is highly sensitive to noise as well. So what we find is that the difficulty is you're so restricted in what you can do every day, because the world is no longer so accessible to us. So we are invisible with our disabilities, because we can't appear somewhere and somebody look at us and go, oh yeah, you know, we must make allowances. Yes. So you are invisible. And I find, you know, people can be quite discriminating towards you if you exclaim your need, because it's like, oh, for goodness sake, just like get over it. But they don't understand that high-pitched noises like a dog barking or a car horn, or it can be, you know, like the sound a lot of trucks and vans make when they reverse, like when the rubbish collection and every week and that kind of thing. All those sounds are not just triggering uncomfortable, they're painful, they're hurt. And my daughter, because she's still young, what she would do is she would just go, oh, you know, like that.
Yeah.
You want to protect yourself from the pain. And because it's in your head.
Yeah.
So, and then your body responds, because your body goes into like a shock, because it's been shocked by something you can't really cope with. And so it's not a case of just going, oh, suck it up, put up with it. Everybody's doing that. We're all living in the same situation. We're not, because some of us struggle with other issues, but it's invisible. So that's kind of one aspect. But if you take that out of the equation and you say, okay, what about people that don't have these conditions? We are still finding, and there is research out there to prove this, that our world is becoming increasingly noisy, way above what we are wired to cope with. So for some people who don't have the conditions I have, it just causes stress that they're not aware of. Now, again, because I've done so much studying in hypnotherapy and all these like subconscious things that happen to us, we're not aware that we're constantly being stressed by different factors. So somebody will go, I mean, even owners of dogs, their dogs are stressing them. but they don't take action. Or they say, well, we tried this, we tried that. But the truth is, no, you probably haven't exhausted all possibilities for, you know, helping your dog overcome an issue that is causing stress to them and to you. But overall, noise-wise, the world is becoming noisier and noisier. I mean, one of the other things for us, which is not dog-related, is the hand dryers in public toilets. So I cannot use a public toilet because those really noisy hair dryers, you know, they're really, really noisy ones. So service stations, cafes, restaurants, anywhere I go, I have to take things to do my hands somewhere because if I need to use the toilet and I can't hold it, I have to go either put, I have special earplugs in, but they allow some sound so that I obviously don't put myself in danger, killed by a car or something. So I can't block the noise out completely when I'm out. So I will have to pop them in, go to the toilet, and I'm on the loo like this.
Yeah.
And then I'm myself like this, you know, and then out because people are in the meantime drying their hands. So we don't think about these things, but for people like me and so many others, it's an everyday suffering issue, you know. Yeah. So we don't go around shouting at others, going, you know, don't bring your dogs or don't put these hand dryers in, or no, don't do this or don't do that. But it just means you can't go out. It limits how much we can access places that every day should be accessible. If I want to take my daughter for an ice cream, I have to go through a list of all the places that allow dogs and all the places that might not allow them, what time of the day it is, and it's might less likely. Inevitably, we go to her favorite place, which is about 45 minutes from here, from my house, and it is a beautiful country park. And we used to love to just go for a little walk and then go and have chips in this lovely cafe. It's a gorgeous cafe and ice cream. And that was kind of like a treat we would do. But increasingly, with the popularity of taking the dogs in the cafes, we now will go, we'll drive 45 minutes, we'll go for a little walk, and then we'll sit in the car to eat our chips and our ice cream. It completely defeats the object, really. You know, you want to sit in the cafe, you want to enjoy the ambience, you want to enjoy the experience. You can't, because almost every table will have their dogs. Obviously, they would have been for a walk, but they're not well-behaved dogs. They're barking every time somebody walks in the cafe. The dogs bark at each other as they pass the tables. They're yelping at their owners to drop them bits of food. Of course, you're rewarding this, aren't you? Because every time you give him something to stop him barking, you've just rewarded their behavior. So of course they're going to keep going at it. Or they jump, you know, they're jumping with their paws on a table, which is also unhygienic. And I've been in the hospitality industry for many years before this kind of evolving of my business. So I know that not every table gets wiped clean super, super amazingly, because the staff are always rushing. You know, it's like a quick wipe down and on they go and onwards. So there's that aspect too. But my point with this article was to say, really, it goes beyond even us as dog owners. It goes to the point where we seem to be living life with so little consideration towards one another.
Yeah.
You know, I have dogs and sometimes they'll be barking, and it's okay now because we've been able to communicate with one another and find solutions. And there were simple solutions. I've got a lovely neighbor, lovely person whose two dogs would only bark when he was out of the house. So he didn't even know his dogs were barking. But he would leave the front curtains open so that they could see outside, which I don't personally think that's necessary. A dog doesn't need to be looking outside. They're not human. They can quite happily curl up on the sofa, chill out, sleep, rest, go to the rest of the house. Anyway, look at the back window, not necessarily the front. But he would do that for them. And they would just sit absolutely fixated to wait for somebody to go past. Because, of course, now you've put the dog in protection mode. Your dog is not relaxing and resting while you're out. Your dog feels, I've got to protect this house because my owner's out. So therefore, they're like fixated and they wait for whoever's going to go near. I couldn't leave my house, couldn't do my front garden, couldn't put my rubbish out. My kids would go out and they'd be like this to try and get into the car quickly. Because they would be like, whoa, 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 you know, this kind of thing. So you're like that. And so one time I just mentioned it and Oh, no, I think somebody else complained to him. And so I asked him, and he goes, you know, do you notice it? And I said, yes, every day. And he said, why didn't you say anything? I said, because I didn't know how you'd receive it. I don't feel, I just didn't feel I could. And he said, well, what do you suggest I do? And I said, close your curtains. Just close your curtains and see whether it's the sound that triggers them or it's visually seeing people around your house. Anyway, he closed his curtains. We've never heard them again. Mm. So he leaves the back, you know, access to the back window to see, so they can look into the garden or whatever. They're so calm. They're so chilled now. It, you know, so it actually is better for the dogs themselves.
Oh, yes, they're happier as well.
Yeah. So when we got Poppy, because she was a rescue dog and she was a rescue puppy, so she was completely untrained in any of that. No, we didn't get her from a shelter. We rescued her from where she was abandoned. But I made sure from day one that she knew the boundaries of what behavior is acceptable and what isn't. And it was just very, very simple things. And a big, big, big thing in our situation was my mental state when I was training her. So I wasn't like, stop it, you know, this kind of thing. With it was just like, no. And that was it. That's all it took with her. Just having a presence of kind of gentle authority, like, no, we don't do that. And I've done that with our cat, because you can't train cats. My cat's like fully trained as well. You know, it doesn't jump on counters, it doesn't jump on tables, it doesn't ask for food, it doesn't scratch, it doesn't bite. Because when he went to do those things, it was like, ah, and that's, and he'd look at me and thought, okay, she means it, so I'm not going to do it. And that's all it took. No aggression, nothing.
Yeah.
But with Poppy, also employ a dog behaviorist, because we were living in Greece, so we brought her back to England and had neighbors, and so I knew it was important that she would cope when we were out of the house. So we had a dog behaviorist come and help us create the environment she needed to behave well and thrive. And she's just an amazing dog, such a lovely family dog. We don't have those issues. So I cannot be the only person that can do that.
Yeah.
You know, it is not a case of, oh, they want to do it. It's a case of, you just haven't found the right approach yet.
Yeah.
So just dismiss it. Oh, you know, all dogs do that. Oh, dogs bark. And I remember once I mentioned it to somebody, go, dogs bark, you know, they are dogs. You know, as if I'm really stupid. And it's like, yeah, I know that. But what's causing them to bark? A dog barks either when defending its territory, when it's defending itself, when it needs to get something, like have a need met, kind of like, why do we talk? Why do we cry? Why do we shout, right? So it isn't normal for your dog to be barking all day while you're out. There's anxiety and stress there. So the dog is suffering. It's not normal and it's not okay. And it's not okay for them to be like, you know, all over people when they arrive, like this, you know, kind of thing. And we think, oh, it's not okay. You know, a dog can learn to defend its territory in a much gentler, like lower tone. So their mind is wired in that moment. They're so stressed out because they've got to defend. They've got to, you know, and if you're feeding into it with inappropriate behavior, which kind of sometimes, oh, come on, darling, don't do that. Oh, come on, stop it. Or shut up, you know, the two extremes. Like, no, they don't understand either of that. They just, you need to talk dog language kind of thing and get into
that.
So there's all this, and this has all come from, because I have worked in animal welfare for years. I've worked in animal rescue and dog rescue. And, you know, so I've worked as a veterinary assistant. I've done animal assisted therapy training. I've done a lot of things. I'm not talking from my, you know what.
Yes.
It's also experience. I've observed it. I've seen it, especially in rescue places where I've gone to so many different shelters. And some shelters are just so badly designed where the dogs are barking all the time, and that's not good for them. It's just constantly puts them under stress, which is why they're getting sick all the time and they need antibiotics. But I've gone to shelters that have such a different layout and you didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
I've gone all around the whole place and I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Because of design. And so it's always for me about, you've got to think about things from the perspective of the dog. But as citizens, we also need to consider one another. You know, we need to consider, as we have in my neighborhood, there are people who are terminally ill and are at home, right?
Mm.
And they need peace and they need quiet and they need to be able to feel that their home is their shelter and their refuge, or they're ill with other illnesses, or they have family members who are struggling. There's all sorts of things. People are struggling with mental illness. People work shifts and they need to sleep in the day. People have newborn babies down for naps. Why are we not considering all this? You know, and these same people might go to a cafe and want to have a cup of coffee, meet a friend, and have a really meaningful conversation. I work as a therapist, so I know this from my clients too. And often it's just like it's an onslaught. They can't do it. They have to leave. Yeah. So it's also about consideration. It's different perspectives, really.
I agree. I find noise pollution incredibly stressful. You know, and overnight there's a guy over there that has a noisy, very, very noisy car. So I have a white noise machine on. But of course that's noise as well. But yeah, I really, really get the noise pollution is a real big issue, whether that's a car or a dog or whatever that is. Absolutely. That's important. I really love your suggestion that about every dog should do the Good Citizen Scheme. Absolutely. I really, really think that. And I've said that in the past because I think there's so many benefits to that. The training for the dog, and it's sensible, everyday, useful things.
Yeah.
As the owner, you're made to be aware of your responsibilities. And that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Your responsibilities as a responsible owner. And you get support and you get issues given to you and you get access to a trainer and hopefully a behaviourist so that if your dog has issues, they'll spot it and go, do you know what you need to do for that? You know, so everybody's going to be happier, aren't they? I think that's a brilliant idea.
And it doesn't have to be that scheme. I mean, I haven't been as much in touch with all that kind of that side of things for a few years. But when I was involved, that was the scheme I knew about.
My
other schemes, there might be, I mean, like, for example, I had Poppy assessed as a therapy dog a few years ago. And of course, to become a therapy dog, there are certain standards they have to meet to fulfill that. So there are other schemes around, I'm sure, or there could even be an opportunity, because I know obviously some people might say, well, I don't want to do the Kennel Club one or whatever. But what an opportunity for there to be a new scheme perhaps created for this purpose, you know, to make it so it's not about excluding the dogs, but it's about considering everything and including them in a way that is appropriate and suitable and doesn't infringe on other people's enjoyment, especially if you're on holiday. Imagine you pay all this money you've saved all year to go on holiday. You know, you rent a lovely little cottage or whatever, or stay in a hotel or whatever, and you're looking forward to going away, switching off, resting, relaxing, reconnecting with your family, perhaps, or whatever. And then you got a dog barking every time it hears a noise in the room next door or the cottage next door, or every time they take it outside, you know, and it sees something. And you're like, I've also paid to do this. It's not okay.
Yeah.
So again, it's not about excluding them. It's about including them, but having certain sort of standards in place that say, I know that I can bring, you know, I know as a hotel owner that these dogs will not infringe on the rest of my customers' experience. And they're included and you can take them with you then. And why not? You know, so
it's a mark of quality, isn't it, of behavior?
It's finding a middle ground. I mean, the other thing as well is I'm seeing a lot of people taking their dogs to shopping malls. We have one nearby. And again, it's like, I'm thinking, why would you take your dog to a shopping mall? It's the most stressful environment. They can't freely do that. There are so many smells. There's so many people around them for them to dodge. The stimulation is really high. It's not enjoyable. So if you're doing it because you can't leave the dog alone at home because it has separation anxiety, you've got to address that. Rather than, or I'll take it with me, I'll just make it more anxious because of the environment I'm taking in. But as well, because again, they're doing the same thing. The owner's waiting outside a shop for the other partner to go in or the whatever, and the dog's barking constantly waiting for that. And you're like,
I know. It's a huge problem, and we won't solve it this morning. But
no.
I've got one eye on the time, as ever. So let's talk about Poppy's Miracle.
Okay. So Poppy's Miracle, I've got it here. I don't normally have it here. I had to dig it out this morning. So that's the book.
Smashing.
And it is really based on Poppy. It's the real story of Poppy. It's actually written from a therapeutic aspect because I'm a bibliotherapist, which means I use books for therapy as well as form of therapy. So what I've done with this one is I wanted to tell our family's journey with ADHD, which is when our youngest son got diagnosed 9 years ago. And at that same time as his diagnosis, we rescued Poppy. And what happened was this, it was a really, really challenging time for me because I was dealing with Vangelis's diagnosis and trying to understand the challenges and everything it entails with ADHD. While I have three children, while also fostering two children. So we had five children in the home.
Wow.
The two children I was fostering were older and they had gone through an incredible amount of trauma. So their needs were plenty. And I had to obviously factor that into the home environment. And then we rescued Poppy. So it was crazy. But through the craziness of it all, and even my resistance to bringing the puppy home and being challenged by trying to understand my son's ADHD, it all kind of came into this place where we learned to see each other differently. And I guess in a way, that's what this discussion has been, seeing everything from different perspectives, not just your perspective, but looking at it from different angles. And what happened is I saw that whereas I was resistant to us getting a dog because of our family situation, she came to actually become this beautiful catalyst in our family, gelling and connecting and bonding through her coming in and being the one that kind of diffused the tension or the worries or the concerns. And her beautiful energy just kind of connected us all together. But at the same time, I got to see my son's beautiful qualities and his gifts instead of the focus being on attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yeah.
I hate the word disorder. So it just changed us as a family so much, and to the point where we celebrate him, we celebrate our family, we celebrate each other. And I wanted to put that into a book that was also suitable for neurodivergent children. So it's very simply done. That's why it's just black and white, because I wanted it to be really easy on the neurodivergent eye. A lot of neurodivergent children can't cope with picture books that have so much color, so much stuff. So it's all hand-drawn designs, illustrations from a friend who's the mother of an autistic child. So she understood the brief immediately. And it's also in dyslexic friendly font. It's dyslexic font.
Yeah.
So I have had so many adults as well tell me it's the first time they've read a book cover to cover, they didn't realize they were dyslexic.
Wow.
And it's happened. I had a GP in her 70s. She said, you know how many books I've had to read for my work and my career and my studies? It's the first time I've been able to read a book so easily. I never even realized I could be dyslexic.
Yeah.
So that's been a surprise. But it's in dyslexic font. And the end has lots of kind of journaling prompts. I try and find. So it's activities, questions and prompts and things like that to help the process the story, discover their gifts, understand about ADHD, learn tools to manage their ADHD. And then at the very end, it's got like the real story of when we rescued Poppy with her photographs and all of that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book to do as a project. I've got therapists using it with children. I've got teachers using it in schools. I've been in to talk to schools about her, and I've taken her as well. I've been to colleges and done virtual events as well. But it's a great project as well for like a parent and child to do, a grandparent and the child to do together, because it's a story and then you've got all these things, questions you can work through together. It's just a lovely way to really help a child celebrate themselves and the parent or guardian or carer to celebrate them instead of the focus being on their disorder.
Yes, yeah. Flip the mindset and look at some positives. I love it. It's been really, really fascinating to talk to you. Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, it was just that I'm really grateful you've given me the opportunity to explain, because, you know, I was a little bit concerned that it would be seen as me attacking dog owners, which absolutely not the case. But obviously, as a therapist as well, and as from the other side, I just, it's that, that's all I wanted to convey, that this is just about us being a bit more considerate and finding a way that works for everybody, which is like the idea of the initiative, finding a way that works for everybody so we can all like enjoy life and dogs, because that's the other thing. You want to be able to rescue a dog and not be kind of put off by all the issues and stuff. So no, it's all good. And I'm just really grateful you've given me this opportunity.
You're welcome. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. Where can people find out more online?
So I have a website. It is words for healing. So words as in the words we speak, all right? wordsforhealing.org, O-R-G.
Smash it.
I think Google my name also, it should come up. It comes up with all my kind of social media links and website. But that's, the website's probably the best place to find me.
Great. Well, we'll put all the links on the Dogcast Radio site as well. And people can come and find you, because it's all really interesting and thought-provoking. And, you know, I think, as you say, just getting the conversation started, you know, and people think about things and go, oh, my dog barking might upset other people. And that's how we move on, is it? Isn't it?
Absolutely. And yeah, and we've got to consider, there's so many things we have to consider, but definitely it's about forging a way forward as a society that considers all members of society, including our furry friends as well, you know, and just finding a way that makes it possible and accessible for all of us.
I do believe that every time we go out with our dogs, we should be the best ambassadors we can for dog ownership. And that becomes more complicated as we become more aware of the complex and varied needs of the people around us. Thanks very much to Michelle for such a thought-provoking interview. We have all the links she mentioned at the Dogcast Radio site, dogcastradio.com. And if you're affected by any of the issues raised, I'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. It's been quite a while since we attended Crufts, so it was wonderful to go back and wander around the halls of the NEC in Birmingham, soak up the atmosphere, see lots of dogs, and meet up with some people. I've tried to make this immersive, so come with Jenny and me as we go to Crufts 2024.
We are here, Jenny and I are here, and we're at the main entrance of Crufts, the piazza, isn't it, they call this, the piazza. I've seen many dogs and I've just seen another one. I get very distracted as soon as I see dogs. I guess that's the point of being here, so that's okay. And we're just walking up to the entrance of Hall 1 of Crufts 2024. Yay! Just a little bit excited. You a little bit excited, Jen?
I am.
You hide yours better. So here we go. You can hear the roar of the crowd already. Wow. Okay, so we're here in Hall 1. Giving a bit of the ambience of the room. It's a big room. Oh, Dalmatian, and Labradors and Samoyeds. Hello. So many dogs, so little time. So we're going to have a look. They haven't replaced the big plexiglass dome that the BBC used to have here, have they?
No.
You can't remember? Okay. Oh, I can see a black coat retriever or a curly coat retriever. And just making our way through the stores. It's busy. We're only here Thursday. I mean, it is only Thursday already, and it's busy. It does get busier than this by Saturday and Sunday. But it feels quite a bit. But then, we haven't been here since 2019.
We fell into conversation with someone, which is a regular habit with us. And on this occasion, it wasn't about a dog. It was about Jenny's bag, which is beautiful and Tangled themed. Anyway, having already started chatting, I asked Dave why he was at Crufts.
Just to come and have a day out, have a look round at different dog breeds and just bump into people and have a chat.
Already you're having a chat.
Yeah.
Okay, what dog breeds have you come to see specifically? Any or you just like dogs?
Non-specifically, I like just about every breed you can think of.
Yeah.
I don't have any dogs myself anymore.
Yeah.
Because I have ill health.
Yeah, so. Oh, I know. Tell me about it. So, and also, your choice. I had a Labrador.
Right.
I could not meet a Labrador's needs now, so we're looking at other breeds. So what did you have?
Most recently, German Shepherds and Airedales.
Beautiful. Oh, Airedales.
gorgeous, yeah.
Although my lifetime I've had. I have been here to Crufts with a bull mastiff.
Yeah.
I've heard myself, yeah. Yeah.
So you're an old hand, you see. Yeah. You've got a story. You see, that's one of the joys of Crufts for me, that almost everybody walking around has got a story to tell. Sometimes it's a happy story, sometimes it's a sad story, sometimes it's a story that is being planned, hasn't happened yet, but usually if you stop and talk to people, there's a story, and I like digging out the stories. I like talking to the dogs as well, but I like finding out the stories behind everybody that's here. And now it's time to go meet some dogs. We went off to the showing rings, which, to be fair, is where you look at dogs rather than actually meet them. Though we did get to meet some dogs because we met up with friends who were exhibiting. So now we take you to the crux of Crufts, the show rings. We're at the side of the showing ring in Hall 1, and there's Gemma Spitzklein, all white, little white Gemma Spitzkleins. And there's Chows, I think, in this one. And there's Dalmatians running around. Somebody's just won something over there. Dalmatians running around in that ring, and it's just... to be back, isn't it? Missed this. We are at the side of the Gemma Spitzklein ring, and they're all so cute. It hurts. Tiny little fluffy dogs trotting around the ring, and I could not pick the best one. I couldn't do the judge's job. Obviously, I couldn't do the judge's job, but I couldn't pick the cutest one. But then, saying that, I'm realising they don't pick the cutest one, actually. They pick the one that matches the breed standard the most. Unless the breed standard says cute, probably does. They're not looking for the cutest dog. But they're so, so cute. They're fluffy, they're gorgeous, they're alert, their little ears are up, and they're trotting, and they look so proud and excited. And it's just, it's gorgeous. They are so cute, it hurts. And they're engaged with their owners. And it's actually lovely. I'm really enjoying watching these German Spitz trot around the ring. Oh, he's calling somebody. The judge is calling somebody forward, I think. Nope, he's just gone to get a treat. When they get examined walking around the floor, and they get examined on the table, and the judge puts hands on them and talks to them. And the other thing that always fascinates me is the outfits that the owners choose. Because there's such a variety of outfits, and I love... There's one outfit that's a spangly suit from head to foot, and I love it. Oh, let's have a look. There's a black top and a blackened white skirt with a brown dog. I'm probably using the wrong term there, but to me it's like a beige dog. I'm using the wrong terms. But we've got a variety of outfits, and they all try and contrast. Well, usually they try and contrast with the colour of the dog. So if you've got a black dog, you don't wear black trousers or black skirt, so that you show off your dog to the best ability that you can. And that's the idea, just to make them look the best they can in the ring. But they all look the best. I'd like to give them all first prize. They're all gorgeous. One lovely aspect of Crufts is meeting up with old friends. So I made a beeline for the extra dog stand to have a chat with Alex Wilson.
Hi, Julie. Lovely to see you. It's been too long.
I know. We haven't been since 2019. It's been a long, long time. We've kept in touch on social media.
Absolutely. And we did have... You did a lovely interview with me on Zoom while back.
That was good. And about harnesses.
Yeah, about harnesses, which was really interesting. Yeah. And a lovely piece you wrote.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, for the listeners at home, describe your story.
So, we're here in two capacities, really. One... to obviously commercially, we've got a lots of exciting products.
Yeah,
we've got the extra dog harness. We recently acquired the business of Spiffy Dog, so we've got Spiffy Dog collars here. We've also got lots of interactive stuff, toys, and we've got the canine connectables from Ireland. So really stuff on the educational side, but also we're representing Tellington T-Touch Training here, which I'm one of the senior practitioners at Tellington T-Touch. And we're here, you know, talking about how to become a practitioner, how T-Touch can help dogs, particularly those that pull on the lead or dogs that are very high energy and need to learn a bit of calmness. There's so much that we can do within the realms of Tellington T-Touch to help those sort of dogs.
Yeah. And I mean, that is, it is vital, because it's one thing to get your dog to behave acceptably,
But it's another thing sometimes that the inside, the internal life of the dog is happy, isn't it? They're not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah, and it is, I think, with calmness, it's understanding things like getting the parasympathetic nervous system to work, using things that might get the dog to lick, to chew, to be using their molars, so this will get their parasympathetic, the rest and recreation side of the nervous system, rather than the high drive side of the nervous system. And, you know, using things like free work, Tellington T-Touch groundwork, licky mats, all these sort of things can just help to build calmness. And having a calm life with dogs. I've just got a new puppy.
Yes.
Who She's was gorgeous. Born. She is gorgeous. He was born at the end of November.
Yeah.
And we've sort of gone for bowl free feeding, using Kongs, using licky mats. So there isn't this high energy. It's meal time.
Oh, that's so really interesting.
Yeah.
So just bowl free. No, but
no. Yeah. No bowl at all. She doesn't have a food bowl. The only bowl she has is a water bowl.
Wow.
And we just randomly through the day there'll be a licky mat, there'll be a Kong, there'll be other food toys, and you know, during the day she'll get through her ration of raw food, and then we have some good quality kibble that we use for doing training with as well. So
you just blew my mind. You can have a dog and not have a food dish. Wow.
Well, it's quite a big thing, you know, bowl free feeding. A lot of vet behaviourists are recommending it.
Yeah.
And just taking that element, because I think a lot of times what I find is you start preparing the food, the dog's arousal level goes up.
Yeah.
They get up almost up to that point of threshold, and once it gets to that point of threshold, then it can take up to 72 hours to come down and to relax again. And food becomes a thing. Now, if food is coming intermittently, and food is often associated with training and fun, and it's a pot of value, should I say, it can really make such a big difference. Obviously, the only caveat is I wouldn't want it to become punitive. I wouldn't use it where the dog is a punisher.
Yeah.
But if it's just part of a dog's everyday life, where, you know, I'll be sitting at my desk, the puppy's in the office with me, she's been asleep, I'll just go and grab a licky mat out of a freezer for her. So then she'll get up, she'll go and charge around the garden, then she comes back into the office, does a little bit of licking, has a tasty licky mat, and then maybe has another little sleep.
That is such a brilliant way to feed them. I've not heard that before. That is excellent. Well, I'm fingers crossed I will have a puppy this year. Maybe.
Brilliant.
Hopefully,
what are you going to
get? Well, hopefully another German Spitzline like Mischief that we've got.
Oh, wonderful.
So, well, she fits with our lifestyle so well, and she's clever. And obviously, you can see in her her ancestors, not her. Her larger ancestors, the Spitz, were used as sort of to look after the reindeer, as herding breed, and to live with the family, and sometimes to look after the children. And you can see that in her, and she's nearer, mentally, she's nearer the Border Collie we had than the Labrador. So she's very, very clever and very quick and very willing. We've been, all four of us, it's four adults in there, all of us have been very positive with her, and she will do anything for any of us, which is quite unusual. We'd read before, they could be a bit stubborn. She's not. So, we'll have another one, please.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely wonderful. I think you've got to have the breed you love.
Yes.
You know, for me, it's Dalmatians and Huskies, although I probably wouldn't go a second Husky.
Yeah.
Arapahoe was amazing. We were very lucky with her. She was a very calm dog. But I think some Huskies wouldn't necessarily be like her.
Yes.
But I think I'm definitely a Dalmatian person through and through. I'm not sure I'd do the 101 of them, but...
Maybe just 100.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're a lovely breed. They've got the personality and the lovingness.
Yes. They're gorgeous, aren't they? But full of energy. I mean, you have to be
absolutely.
Ready to take... Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it's, you know, again, it's looking at the ditching the bowl, and also getting rid of routine. You know, magic has no routine.
Excellent.
You know, sometimes like a Cruft, she's having to get up very early in the morning, and then somebody's looking after her while I'm here. Sometimes she'll sleep in. She's not one of these dogs that gets you up at a certain time, expects to be fed at a certain time. Every day is different. Some days we'll go out for a long walk. Some days she'll just go and have a run around the garden.
Yeah.
And luckily I've got a decent sized garden for her to do that. But I've tried to take all that routine right from when she came home. I've got rid of that routine, and hopefully this builds up a gritty, bomb-proof dog.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And your Croft is going well already.
Yeah, it's been a good start, and good. Spoken to a lot of people. Both, you know, we sold quite a lot of stuff, but we've also had a lovely opportunity to talk about Tea Touch.
Yeah.
I did a Facebook Live at 11 this morning, and we talked about the importance of observations and you know, trying to just read the dog's body language.
So important.
Absolutely. And I've just brought out a new book on the subject called Talk Dog, so was able to sort of tie that up, and that links in with a course that we run as well.
Let's talk another time then. Let's talk about Talk Dogs and let's catch up another time, because you're very busy at Croft. That sounds really interesting. I'll see you soon.
That would be lovely. Thank you, Julie.
After that oasis of calm with Alex, it was back out into the busy walkways of Croft.
Okay, I'm on the move through Crofts, and I'm going to Hall 3 at the moment, and I'm trying to meet Liv, who's here with her dog Mocha, and find out what she's been up to. She's been having some exciting times. So, yeah, I'm trying to get through Hall 3. It's incredibly busy, even for day one. Wow, I mean, it would be... Thank you. It would be busy anyway, but especially for day one.
Unfortunately, I had to delay finding Liv because she had to go back into the ring to compete, which was, after all, the main point of her day, so I couldn't complain, and it was the perfect excuse to break for lunch.
Okay, so it is... Oh, well, I'm going to say it's lunchtime. It's, I don't know, coming up to 2 o'clock-ish at Crofts, the first day of Crofts Thursday, and we've made it so far. My feet aren't feeling too bad. But it's been busy. It's very, very busy. Feels more like a Saturday, to be honest, but it's busy. Anyway, I found somewhere to sit down to eat my lunch, and it's not too busy in here. I've gone for, I'm not going to say the brand, but I've gone for a salad with a veggie patty and cheese. You may know the brand from saying that. But basically, salad with the vegetarian-ness added to it. And I'm shattered already. I haven't walked this far in a long time. To be honest, I was done by the time we'd walked in from the car. But anyway, no, I'm not really. It's fine. And I'm running on adrenaline and caffeine, which is fine. And the love of dogs. I'm meeting some really gorgeous dogs. We've just met an Irish Wolfhound, who was basically astride the guy's lap. He thought he was a lap dog. He was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. It's a good day to be here. It's utility and toy. So you've got... from tiny, tiny dogs to huge dogs. And, of course, I've been into Discover Dogs, so I've seen dogs of all sorts. But it's great. That's at the heart of Crofts is, obviously, dogs. But also the love of dogs. And it's fantastic. I'm loving it. And you do see people and dogs and the relationship between them as you're walking around. And it's just... it's gorgeous. I love it. It manifests in so many different ways today. So... I'm having a great day, and now I'm going to have a great lunch.
After lunch, it was time to get back out there amongst the dogs, which is never a hardship, to be honest. And as I was lurking on the lookout for my next interviewee, I made eye contact with a cute canine and had a chat with his lovely human.
My name's Tina.
Hiya, Tina. And your dog is?
My dog is Percy.
Percy. Hiya, Percy. And Percy is a German Spitz Klein.
Yes.
And I'm very familiar with those because we've got one at home. We've missed this year. Yeah. So, we sat at the side of the German Spitz Klein ring. And they're all such happy, engaged, joyful dogs, aren't they?
Yeah, very much. They're just lovely companions. They're delightful to live with. They've got a sense of humour.
Yes, they have.
Sometimes they can be absolutely ridiculous, but I love them so much.
Now, they look... they're quite similar... well, no. I imagine to a lay person, they're quite similar to it, like myself. They're quite similar to a Pomeranian.
Yeah.
But they're bigger. And obviously, they've got longer noses, haven't they?
Yeah. But they are quite similar. And on the continent, so it's in German where they're from, obviously, he would be a Kleinspitz, and Klein just means small. And a Pomeranian would be a Zwergspitz, and that just means dwarf. And they would be completely almost the same, just measuring differently. And there is a bit more difference nowadays than historically in terms of what is like preferred in the show ring.
Yeah.
But they are, the reason they look so similar is because they have the same historical roots.
Yeah. Well, German Spitzbein has got Pomeranian on the pedigree. So, you know, they are. And people often say, oh, Pomeranian. And she is small. So, you know, it's not out of the question. But we're talking about a very, very cute, small, fluffy dog.
Yeah.
Do they have a brain?
Yeah, no, they do actually have a brain. I mean, I would say his is still growing. But
how old is he?
He's 5, but he's got boy brain. We do agility. We're not competing quite yet, but he will probably compete. Well, I'm currently pregnant, so he'll probably compete after the baby is born. But my other German Spitzklein competes and is in grade 4. And yeah, absolutely. They like to do stuff with their humans, is what they like. Yes. So it's stuff with people. And you can't do a ton of repetition. They do, like, they have their own ideas. But
oh, yeah, they've got opinions, haven't they? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're clever. I mean, our Mischief, I would say, is nearer to our Border Collies. Well, the Border Collie we had, their brain, than our Labrador's brain. I would say she's quite active. She wants to do stuff. She will come and actually sort of say, I'm bored, let's do something.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I said to him, let's go outside for a walk, and we went for 15 minutes or if we went for 2 hours, he'd be thrilled with that. Yeah. He'd just be happy to do whatever I suggested. He's happy to be here, seeing everybody, socialising, getting a lot of love. He's absolutely thrilled to do anything. But yeah, he is active and he needs to... It's not just about how far you walk or how long you go out. He needs to do different stuff.
And brain stuff. I mean, Misty has a ton of... She loves getting treats out of cardboard boxes, you know, and something to work her brain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He is a big cardboard fan. If you put the toilet roll tube on the ground, he can hear that anywhere in the house and he'll come and steal it away. No, they love doing stuff like that, or just like finding treats, finding things you've hidden about the house. He loves to tug, but he equally loves to eat. He's good fun to play with.
They're a good dog. They're a friendly dog, I find. They generally like people. They're very portable. They're not going to take up a lot of room. They're not going to eat a ton. They're a good breed, aren't they? I can't work out why. I mean, I'm quite glad they're not very, very popular because they don't get ruined as a breed. But I can't work out why they're not more popular.
I don't really know. I mean, there aren't loads of them. And I think because so many people think they're Pomeranians, if someone saw him in the street and said, oh, I want one of them, they might think, oh, like, that's a Pomeranian. Go and look at Pomeranians. And, you know, if you put your phone on and ask it to guess the dog breed, you quite often get Pomeranian coming out. I don't know why they're not more popular, but I agree, like, with a lot of popularity does come issues as well. So, but no, they are quite friendly. They're portable. Mine have all stayed in hotels and stuff. And, you know, they're loud and they shed, and those are the downsides. But they're, you know, Labrador shed.
Oh, yeah.
Border Collie shed. You know, there are dogs that don't shed as much. But
then you've got the hard work of having to go to a groomer and having to have a lot of work done. We do go to a groomer, and there's a lot of, you know, perhaps 4 times a year we go, and she washes a lot of dead hair and stuff. But then it's dead easy in between, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I groomed him yesterday for coming here and showing, and it took me about 45 minutes to bath and blow dry him. It's the same as, like, if I washed my hair and did it nicely for an interview or something. It's not overly big of a task. And you trim, in terms of going in the ring, you trim their feet, you do their nails. It's not difficult to do. And, you know, I've not got any professional grooming experience. And I groom my own dog, for sure, which I wouldn't be able to do if I had something like a poodle.
No. Well, it's been lovely to meet you and Percy. Enjoy the rest of Croft.
We will do. Thank you very much.
After making a very cute new friend in Percy, I was off to meet an old friend, Jodie Forbes. She had been on the Nature's Menu stand, but had left by the time I got there, so we had a text exchange of, "Are you still here?" "Yes, I'm in Hall 4, right before the stairs to Hall 5, which I misread and head straight off down the stairs to Hall 5 and had to retrace my steps. But finally, I tracked Jodie down. She has been a fixture of Crufts for as long as I can remember, and she's still so much younger than me.
Crufts is a vast place, and you try and meet up with somebody and you go, "Where are you? I've had trouble even meeting Jenny." You're like, "I'm in Hall 3. No, I'm in Hall 3. You're not in Hall 3. It's huge, isn't it?
I'm so awful as well. I think this must be my 15th year here, and I don't know where anything is. Every year I make the same mistake, so every year when I get to the car park, I go, oh, I'll park in the closest one, and then it's miles away. Yeah, so I'm useless at it.
You must have come as a fetus. You must be counting very early ones.
Yeah, because I did Young Kennel Club stuff, so I've been coming for a long time.
You know that. I mean, if you don't know the way, the rest of us, we're never going to find our way.
I mean, I could be plopped like a mile from home and I wouldn't know where I was, so I'm pretty terrible at directions.
Okay. But good with dogs. I'll say it for you. You're good with dogs. So we've got two of your dogs here with us right now. So tell us who we've got.
We've got Bramble. She's my nearly 14-year-old Border Terrier. And I've got Willow, who is my nearly 3-year-old bearded collie mix street dog.
They're both very chilled at the moment, aren't they?
Oh, they're exhausted. Yeah. So for Willow, the sheepdog, this is quite a lot for her.
Yes.
Because collies, they observe everything. So everything that happens, she's quite alert to. She needs a lot of downtime here. Whereas Bramble is brilliant. This is maybe her 11th or 12th crufts. She's been coming since she was a tiny little baby. And she knows as soon as we stop, she has to go to sleep. Like, she's learned that the hard way.
Oh, bless them, yeah. But Willow is really quite chilled still, because she's just come up to me, had a bit of a hug and a fuss, and then sat down again, and she's okay. She's they're like you say, they're used to it, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we're quite lucky as well, because we do a lot of agility shows, so they kind of are quite used to the settling aspect of it. And Willow is a lovely dog as well. She's super friendly, but she does, when she gets tired, she does get a little bit stroppy, so it is just managing it and not overdoing it, especially on the first day.
But I'm the same.
Oh my God, same. Oh yeah, me too.
I need you to come with me, and you to be saying to people, she's tired, stand back, leave her alone, she's stroppy.
Yeah, you need like a yellow bandana.
Oh yeah. definitely. So tell me what you've been here doing today.
Today we've been doing some demos for our sponsors. So we're sponsored by Nature's Menu and Naylor Tunnels. So we're just doing a little bit of like PR work, showing up, getting some photos, bringing some people over to their stalls by doing some tricks. And that's kind of what our show is going to be like over the next 4 days. So we are here all 4 days, and we're going to do a little bit of sponsor work each day, and then on the Sunday we've got a really busy one. It right till the end. Bramble has a breed show. Bramble's doing the Border Terrier in the Border Terrier ring, and Willow's doing her Good Citizen test.
Brilliant. So she should be busy revising now.
Getting as much sleep as she can, because if she's tired now, she's going to be exhausted by Sunday. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to that test, because when she's tired, she isn't on her best form.
She's going to fly through it. Are we talking bronze or silver?
Just bronze, actually, yeah. So even though she could do all the levels, I just haven't really put the time aside for it. Just the bronze this time.
Yeah. But why make it hard for yourself, particularly in such a busy venue, to go for bronze? Absolutely. So, I think our dogs have done, well, Mischief hasn't because of COVID and whatever, but I do like the Good Citizen scheme. What's in the bronze? Because I think they're good, ordinary, everyday skills that are involved.
Yeah, I probably should know this, shouldn't I? So it's just some stays, loose lead walking, but not heel work, not formal heel work, just loose lead walking. Recall, ignoring other dogs, I think being around other people as well, grooming, walking through a gate.
It's your responsibility, isn't
it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So with the bronze, the onus is a lot on the handler as well. So like, we get asked questions, we show that they have the correct ID on their tag, that kind of stuff as well. So it's a lot, it's kind of 50% her, 50% me.
And one of the things I liked was, it's never long before I start talking poo, you know that. But one of the things I liked was, they do talk about your responsibility to carry poop, scoop the poop.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, because I have 4 dogs as well, I mean, often I'll go out and I'll be like, oh, 4 poo bags, that's great, because I have 4 dogs. And then when my first dog's on their 3rd poo, and I'm like having to go through all my pockets, luckily every pocket has a poo bag in. It is a good reminder for everyone.
You've always got to overestimate, haven't
Absolutely.
You? Yeah, definitely. Otherwise, you end up doing it with a tissue and it gets up your nail. And I'm sorry, anybody that is eating.
Just because my dogs are quite small, all of them are quite small, and they're all raw fed as well, so it's not like super big poo. Often I've had to use like an empty treat pouch and just like put fingers crossed it doesn't go under my nails.
No, I know. We'll change subjects. We'll stop talking poo. So, I mean, one of the interesting things, there's lots of interesting things you've been doing, but Willow's been playing a game, hasn't she?
Yeah, so Willow has been, she's been doing this on the Nature's Menu stand actually. She's been playing a little bit of Connect Four. She's been doing her, I don't know what they're called, like the bead puzzle things.
Yes,
like, that you get like a doctor's surgery. She's been doing puzzles. I go into like charity shops and pick up all the kids' games and they go, oh, have you got a child at home? And I'm like, no, it's for the dogs.
She's a really clever dog.
Very clever dog. She's very clever. Yeah.
I can remember going around charity shops saying, I want a wine rack. But it wasn't for wine, it was for the rats we had, because it's a really, really good climbing frame for them.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I've asked all of my students. At the moment, we're looking for kids' toasters, kids' washing machines, and pedal bins. We're teaching the dogs to open the bins, which is, on reflection, maybe not the best thing, because, they're learning how to steal things. Oh, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, that's going to come back to bite you in the butt, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm so glad we finally met up, found each other. Where can people find you online?
Online, okay, so if you type in Crazel Pup into a search engine, Crazelpup, I'm the only one who's crazy enough to have a name like that, so it will come up with all of my socials. I'm on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. I also have a website, crazelpup.com. I'm on everything.
Yeah. And you post regularly and you're fun.
I'm chronically online, yeah, always.
Aren't we all? Brilliant. Enjoy the rest of Croft.
Love it, you too.
There are many people that I've interviewed on the phone or via video call, and we've messaged back and forth, so we know each other, but we've never actually met. My next task was to meet Katie Dable, who I know, but had never actually met.
Okay, we're in the dog activities area of Crofts, which is in Hall 3, and it's fun. It's a fun area to go and look at. If you want to do something with your dog, which most of us do, or we should, I'm here with Katie Dable and
Lexi,
thank you. And what are you at Crofts doing?
Heel work to music demos.
Smashing, right?
So that's involved presumably lots of practicing and training.
So we've been practicing since the end of January as a team. We're all from all over the UK, including Scotland, and we've all come together for different training days to get ready for this. So for me, a lot of people are new, and I've never met them before, so it's been really nice getting to know people within the sport. So we've been competing for a year, so we're very, very lucky to be on the team. So it's been really nice to meet different people at different levels and pick up advice and tips.
Wow. So you're on a team of dancing?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So do you all dance together or do you do different things at the same time? Kind of thing? What do you do?
So here we've been doing some group demos. So we've had one piece of music, everybody doing their own little bit to it. We've been using the music from the new Wonka film and a couple from the original Willy Wonka. And then a few people have been doing their own routines that they use for competitions. So Lexi and I will be doing ours on Saturday and Sunday.
And you're demonstrating in the ring in
We've been demonstrating in the activities ring in Hall 3, and then on Sunday there's a group of us, including myself and Lexi, who'll be demonstrating in the main arena.
Wow. Now you can't beat that feeling of being in the main arena at Crofts with your dog, can you?
No. I'm very, very excited and very lucky to have been chosen, especially as a beginner dog.
Make the most of it. Buddy and I went in there. We didn't even ever sort of win any awards or anything, but we went in as part of the Safe and Sound team. And it's just such a wonderful experience with your dog. Make the most of it. Stop, look around you. You know, I can remember standing there and going, I love you to Buddy, you know, and just going, savour this. I'm tearing up. I'm just going to have a minute to... But I can remember sort of looking him in the eye and going, wow, we're in the main arena. Across our little partnership has got us here. Wow. And it's just, to me, I mean, what's your take on Crofts? Because I think at the heart of Crofts, it is that love between us and our dogs.
Yeah, it's absolutely. It's all about the dog. And for me, I've never had a purebred dog. I've always had rescues. And the fact that we can be here with a rescue and celebrate them alongside all of the purebred dogs is really amazing. And just to look at my little one, like, she was found in a bin bag as a puppy. So to be here on the green carpet is just amazing. And I'm just so proud of her.
Yeah. But that I mean, you're right. It isn't just about pedigree dogs, because at the end of the day, they've got to know how to live in the real world, and it doesn't matter what breed they are or what mix they are. It's just that, can I live in the real world? Can I live around people and other dogs and children and traffic? And, you know, that's the thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, I know for a fact that some of the purebred dogs would not suit my lifestyle, and I'm very lucky to have found a dog that just slots in and will give anything a go for me. And our little partnership is fantastic. She's an amazing little thing.
She is. She's delightful. She's got lovely little eyebrows, a little black face. She's got little brown eyebrows, haven't you, darling? Is she mainly Jack Russell?
So no, she's actually a miniature Pinscher Fox Terrier mix.
Oh wow!
And everybody thinks she's a Jack Russell. She's just full on terrier.
Gorgeous. But that's quite a dynamic mix, isn't it? So presumably she needs activities.
Absolutely. I mean, we've always done agility and fly ball, and sadly, just before lockdown, she ruptured a cruciate, which meant the end of sort of those kind of things for us. And I remember sitting there and going, but she needs to work. Like, she can't not. She's so lively and all over the place that she needed something. So that's when we sort of went, right, he'll work to music. Let's have a look at that, see what else we can do.
Yeah.
So she does do it alongside Hoopers, because that she likes the running.
But
she still needs to work, even at 10.
But of course, Hoopers is on the flat, isn't it?
Yes.
And he'll work to music. You can adapt it to suit your dog, can't you?
Absolutely. And depending on sort of how she's feeling, it's, you know, we can change the pace and the tempo, pick a music that's going to suit her. If she's not up to the tricks, then I won't put them in. But yeah, you can just do whatever suits your dog, and it's very broad. Like, there's no set routine. It's go in, do what your dog is happy and comfortable with, and just put it to a piece of music that you enjoy.
Yeah, you can get quite creative with it, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. We've done quite a few different routines, both in heel work and freestyle. And this weekend we're doing a routine that is actually dedicated to my late nan. So it's very slow and lyrical.
Yeah.
And just slowing her down is a challenge in itself, but it's nice to try and work her in a different way rather than always kind of fast. So
Oh, that's lovely. Oh, tribute to your nan. That's beautiful. Oh, I mean, it's wonderful. Do you think doing an activity actually helps your bond with your dog?
Absolutely. 100%. Like, I think we've always done something together, and she is all about me. And I started sports actually with my old dog, who was the family dog.
Yeah.
And since retiring him and sort of moving out and getting my own dog, I do feel like he's more attached to my mum because she does stuff with him.
Yeah.
Whereas Lexi, being my dog and doing activities with me, is very much all about me and stuck to me.
Yeah.
And same with my youngster. She's very much a mummy's girl because we do the stuff together. So yeah, I do think it helps the bond.
They're not daft, are they? It's whoever meets their needs. They're like, right, I'll latch onto you. I'll stick with you.
Yeah. I mean, Lexi's a very friendly little thing, and anybody who says a name, she will go to and have a fuss. And 2 minutes later, she's going, where's mummy, though?
Yeah.
And she's always been the same.
But that's lovely to have, actually, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I need it more than her.
So
I love that she wants to be with me. It's just a special feeling.
Yeah. That's why we have them, isn't it? We want their love.
Yes, and she's got plenty to give. The tail never stops wagging, and she'll give anything a go for me.
While I'd been running around talking to people, taking photos and videos, I'd also been batting back and forth messages with Liv, who was there with her dog Mocha. But if you remember, the pesky business of competing kept getting in the way of doing an interview about being there competing. At last, Liv was free to talk to me, and luckily enough, I only had to walk to a slightly different area of the dog activities section, over to the Young Kennel Club area, where I found out what Liv and Mocha had been up to.
So I've been competing in the YKC Jumping Cup. So I was in the semi-final this morning, which was in the YKC ring, and then I was lucky enough to get through to the main arena, which was the final.
Wow. Now that, being in the main arena with your dog, is special, isn't it?
It's probably the best feeling I've ever felt. It's our first time in the main arena.
Yeah.
And just knowing, because it's my first agility dog, and I've trained him from scratch, so just knowing that, it's been really special.
Yeah. I love that. That's our first time. I love that. That's a great attitude. Because like, I thought it was like when I went in with my dog Buddy, I thought we were part of the safe and sound team. We hadn't competed to get there, and I kind of thought this is a once in a lifetime thing. We actually went in, I think it was 3 or 4 times. It is a great feeling, but I love that. That's your first time. So you're planning to carry on?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. My first time competing, of course, was last year, but this is my first time in the main arena.
Yeah.
But it's quite a special experience to be competing in the main arena.
Yeah. Oh, excellent, excellent.
And Mocha is so good, just sitting there.
Yeah, but he's a bit tired. I think it drained him a little bit being in the main arena with everyone side by side. But yeah, he was a good boy, bless him.
Because it is a big ask, isn't it? It's a big room. There's noise, there's other dogs, there's smells, there's, you know, the audience clap, they support, but it's all noise. So it's a lot to take in, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's quite overwhelming, I think, mainly for the dogs, but as a handler as well, it's quite... Look, when I was walking the course, it's quite overwhelming to see how many people are in the ring. But I think especially, like, when... Because obviously the dogs are a lot smaller than us as humans, it must seem quite towering, I would assume, and almost a bit scary. Trying to see everyone at the side, but yeah,
definitely. I mean, you've got to have a dog with the right personality to cope with it, really, haven't you?
Yes, definitely. If you know that a dog is a bit timid or won't cope, it's unfair to put them through that.
Yeah.
So all the dogs that will be in the main arena, the owners will understand that they can go through that.
Yeah.
Because you don't jump straight into the main arena at Cross, do you? There's a lot of work and competition and things beforehand, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it for any of the different sports that are here. But yeah, a lot of people, I think there'll be a few that have qualified for here, but if the dog can't cope with it, they'll pull out. But yeah, a lot of preparation goes into it behind the scenes.
I mean, I imagine for some of the sports particularly, you're usually outdoors, which is a different set of circumstances, and the noise doesn't bounce back the same, the smells don't dissipate in the same way or hang around in the same way. So it is quite a different environment for them, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And like with handling, most of their competitions, I believe, are inside. Whereas agility, in summer, it is outside. But during the winter, most of the time, we spend our time in equestrian centres.
Yeah.
So it is quite different to be in such like a massive space almost on the AstroTurf, which is nice as well.
Yeah. So tell me now, how much work do you put in? Obviously, there's a lot of work, but how many times a week do you train? How much practice do you do at home?
Well, we train 2 to 3 times a week. So 1 week we train 2 times, and then the other time we train 3 times a week. But yeah, we don't have a massive garden, so we can only fit like a few bits of equipment in. But when we can, it's any training that we can do, really. It's all comes to it in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your priority in life, isn't it? The agility with the dog.
Yes, definitely. It definitely overtakes anything else, really.
Yeah. Oh.
But you enjoy it, presumably. What do you think Mocha thinks of it?
I think sometimes he might just do it for the food. No, he does love it as well. But yeah, I think he does love it. But he's such a great dog, and I think he just wants to please me. I think he'd be happy doing anything, really, if as long as I was happy with him.
Yeah.
He is quite a sensitive dog, to be honest. But yeah, he loves it as well.
But that's lovely, and I think... sharing an activity with your dog, it's special, isn't it? When you're both trying to get this, you know, achieve the same objective, there's something special about being a team with them, isn't there?
Yeah, there is really something special about knowing that we're working together, and we're almost like we're working with a completely different like species almost for the same thing. But yeah, it feels really cool to be running with him.
excellent. And how do you motivate Mocha? Is it food or is it a tug toy? What's his motivation?
Like I said earlier, I think he does it because he likes to please me.
Yeah.
But also at the end of his run, he gets his clam, which is like a ball with food in it.
Yeah.
So that's his reward afterwards. And then if he gets, like here in this environment, he can get quite hyped up, so he will generally tug. But he's, for a collie, he's not the most tuggy kind of dog. But
it's funny, isn't it? Because I went to try agility, and I got a Labrador, and I was doing it specifically to get to Croft. We didn't on that account. But I got there with food, and he said to me, not the dog, Lee Gibson said to me, have you got a tug toy? And I was like, well, no, because he's very food motivated. And he went, okay. So we got a rope lead, and he motivated my Labrador with this lead as a tug toy. And I was just like, wow, you know, it was amazing. So I think sometimes you can be surprised what does motivate your dog, doesn't it? But can't you? Because, as you say, maybe it's your attitude, and if you're having fun with them, they pick up from you, oh, this is fun. So, you know, give things a go, maybe.
Yes, definitely. It's quite funny because when Mocha was younger, we tried loads of different tug toys with him, but he just wasn't bothered. But now he prefers to tug on his lead than he will any other tug toy. We've tried different variations, but he loves it to tug on his lead better than any other toy.
I suppose what we don't take into account is that must smell very familiar to him, and of your hand and your family's hands, it must smell so familiar and comforting to him. Perhaps that is the nicest thing to chew.
Yeah, probably. Like you say, it's quite comforting, and the leads that we use are quite soft and almost like most tuggies anyway, so it's perfectly fine for them to tug on them. So.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? Do you think he's got a favourite piece of equipment?
Probably tunnels, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he can run straight through them. I think same with all of our dogs.
Yeah.
But I would say his enemy probably weaves an A-frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the A-frame is the sort of up and over.
Yes.
So that's quite high up, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. But I think for the large dogs they don't tend to notice, but for some of the smaller dogs it can be quite overwhelming for them sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's done really well. He's curled up so lovely, and he's just going to have a snooze now, and you bless him. So is that you're done now for Crufts?
No, we're done for today.
Oh,
we're
right,
back
okay,
competing on Sunday in the YKC Pairs.
And what will you be doing then?
So Pairs is, you have like a baton change, so there'll be two people running. It's generally, you can have weaves, and it's generally just an A-frame, because it's safer for exchanges that way. So one person will run one kind of course, and then they have a baton change, and then the other person will run the other type of the course. That'll be quite a fun event to do.
So does that involve having to train with the other person?
It can do, but you still have qualifiers for this. I think probably the most tricky thing is the baton change, because if you drop the baton change, there's consequences. So I think the baton change is quite an awkward thing to do almost, but it is really fun to do.
Oh, excellent. Well, that's the most important thing, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I enjoy it all.
Do you do any other things with YKC, or have you done any of the weekends or holidays or anything with the YKC?
Well, the YKC camp that's held in August, that is amazing.
Yeah.
Get to meet loads of different people across like all of the different sports that I do, so I've got quite a few friends in handling, even though I don't really see them very often. It's really cool.
Lovely. And it's such a good thing for people to do. I think it's a very positive activity, and again, building your bond with your dog, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're a young person out there with dogs, I think it's definitely a good thing to get into. I think anything, even if your dog's not done anything before, to give it a go, I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, and I guess on a holiday like that, if you go to the camp, you can try a variety of activities and find the one that works for you and the dog.
Yes, definitely. I mean, one of our other dogs, she's only ever done agility, but when we went to the camp she did hoopers and she absolutely loved that as well, so we've got a retirement plan to do hoopers when she gets older.
Excellent, you can't say better than that.
I love the Young Kennel Club because these are the people who will shape the future of dogs, and I hope they make that future brighter and better. And talking of improving the future for dogs, we turn to the strong, serious subject of dog meat. Obviously, many dog lovers will find thinking about this upsetting, but the charity is very positive about the actions they take and the dogs they help. Here's Julia de Cadenet from the charity No to Dog Meat.
Our charity is called the No to Dog Meat Foundation, and we're here to promote our charity and our work, which is a bit of a sad subject, although we are promoting a positive message.
Great, great.
So No to Dog Meat was founded in 2009 after I was working in China and I stumbled across a dog meat market. You may all wonder, what is a dog meat market?
Yeah.
It's not selling meat for dogs, it was actually selling dogs to eat.
Live dogs. Oh my goodness. So you can see all these beautiful live dogs, and you know they're going to go and end up on a...
Absolutely. All the kind of breeds that we see at Crufts were there.
Oh my goodness. I mean, let's just take a minute. That's horrific. That really is horrible, isn't it?
Yes, it was absolutely shocking. I never knew until that date that something like that could exist. So
people are going in there and going, oh, I'll have that fluffy, I mean, I don't know, maybe by breed, spaniel, whatever, I'll have that dog. And then they take it away and eat it.
Well, they do, and often they're killed in plain sight.
Wow. I mean, if we swore on Dogcast, I'd be swearing now. My goodness, that's... So yeah. That, obviously that affected you
it
hugely.
It affected me so deeply because I had never expected to see... I'd never seen an animal killed before, any animal. And even though I'm a vegetarian, I never expected to see a live slaughter of any animal.
Especially not a dog.
And especially not a dog that I would recognise, one I would consider to be a pet. I'm not saying that some dogs deserve to be eaten, but the dogs I saw... Well, it was a Labrador I saw. After this happened, I went back to Hong Kong and I decided to do something about it. And I got in touch with so many big charities and organisations to ask them for help. And several years passed with no awareness being raised. So a group of us got together to start a social media campaign. And then we started our own charity, the No to Dog Meat Foundation. And we've been going now for over 10 years.
So presumably... The problem is solved, presumably. I mean, do you know what I mean? This is our perception, that people don't eat dogs anymore. It doesn't happen.
Well, sadly, they haven't been solved,
no. Even
though there is some legislation in place coming in certain countries. But it's a very tricky subject because people will steal dogs to sell to eat. So it's an unregulated industry, almost a criminal industry. So it's about lack of sentience and it's about money.
Which countries are we talking about?
China, Korea, Vietnam, Cambodia, most of the South Asian countries.
Yeah. And is it also tricky then? Because that's culturally... It's a different culture, isn't it? Let's be, you know, it's just culturally more acceptable to them?
I think if it was culturally acceptable, it would be legal. But it's not actually legal in any of these countries.
Yeah.
So some countries are finally making a bit of a difference. For example, South Korea has announced they will phase the dog industry out. But the fact that it was never formally recognised means it's tolerated. And is something that's tolerated culturally acceptable? That's a big question in itself.
Yeah. And are we finding that younger generations are sort of turning away from dog meat, or are we not? What's the situation?
We are finding that there's many young people that don't know about the subject because they've grown up maybe only seeing their grandparents eat dog meat and not really being sure about it. But then we're also finding that particularly young men, they do eat dog meat because they prescribe to a lot of false beliefs that it makes them stronger, more healthy. Sometimes people might eat dog meat because they think they're going to have a healthy baby. There's a lot of myths around it rather than culture.
Wow. So, presumably one of the ways to tackle that is education, maybe. I mean, what are the ways that you're tackling it?
So we've got a bit of a unique approach. We lobby from the top. We're in consultative status with the United Nations. That sounds very fancy, but basically it means that we present our reasons for change under sustainability and development, and we try to push for legislation to be created. And then we also work on the ground, on grassroots level, actually working with people and engaging with people, not just young people, but all people, to try to show them that cruelty is not cool.
Absolutely. I mean, it is genuinely, genuinely shocking. I mean, I'm shocked. I imagine people listening to this are shocked that it is still going on. I mean, and as you say, when you look around here, all the beautiful dogs here, and if you think of your own dog or a dog you've met and loved, how wonderful they are and what gentle souls they are. It's awful that they're eaten.
It is, but then I'd like to say that we do have 6 dogs here that we have rescued that are with us at Crufts right now. So for our story, not everything is horrific because we've managed to save quite a lot of dogs. We've got more than 700 in our shelter in China.
Yeah.
And one of our main missions here to be at Crufts is to find homes for the dogs in our shelter. And so what we do is we bring along some rescues. Some people who've adopted dogs bring along their dog.
Yeah.
We meet the public and people can see that all dogs could fall foul to this horrific industry, but at the same time, they still can make loving pets.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. So, people listening to this who are presumably shocked, what's the best way for them to support you?
Well, Well, we do have a website, www.notodogmeet.com. They can definitely contact us via that. We have all the social media, No to Dog Meet.
Is there anything else that you'd like people to know?
I would like people to perhaps think when they buy from breeders, because even though there's lots of great breeders around, many dogs from breeders who are not sold can end up in the dog meat trade. Many are actually purchased, even from crofts. Many dogs that don't win end up being sold into the dog meat trade.
Oh my goodness, wow. I mean, that's maybe one of the most shocking things you've said. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that has happened many times. In fact, I didn't know about it myself. It's actually people that have come back to me and told me that that's happened. And I would say this, I would add this. It's great to have a breed dog, but please don't forget about the rescues. And whilst we would love you to adopt one of our dogs, there's so many good rescues in the UK that need help.
Yeah, absolutely. And do check out the rescue. I think it's easy to get fooled. There are good and bad breeders, there are good and bad rescues, aren't there?
Absolutely. Please do check out. For example, we're a registered charity. If you Google us, you can look us up. We're on the Charity Commission website. You can check all our credentials. You really must do that. In the same way, you just really should check out who you work with.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Tell us the website again.
www.notodogmeet.com.
Thanks to Julia for that interview and all the work she does, keeping dogs safe and raising awareness. Crufts always evokes strong emotions in people, positive and negative. And it is something I'm conflicted about because while I do think the majority of people there are there for the love of dogs, yes, there is an element of exploitation. You've probably seen headlines about the French bulldog with no discernible nostrils who still managed to win his group. And we do need to ensure the dogs we breed are as healthy as possible, live as long as possible, and are as happy as possible. Sadly, that's not an easy or quick fix for many reasons. The French bulldog has a very appealing appearance, especially when it does have nostrils. And it's that appealing appearance which has led to it becoming the most popular dog breed in the UK and the USA. Well, French bulldogs and Labradors swap back and forth as the most and the second most popular. But there are dangers to being so popular, as the RSPCA recently pointed out, with French bulldog abandonments up 7,000%. Just let me say that again, 7,000% in the last 3 years. The shocking statistics have been released by the RSPCA amid concerns that the cost of living crisis and the increased costs associated with the breed are behind the rise. The RSPCA has launched its Born to Suffer campaign to raise awareness of the health issues faced by brachycephalic, flat-faced dogs, and to encourage people not to fuel the demand by buying one. You can read more about this in a blog post on the Dogcast Radio site, to which I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode. But you know me, I like to end on a happy note. So, did you know you're doing yourself immense neurobiological good just by interacting with your dog? We've come full circle this episode, starting and ending with neurology. And I'm very happy because we're talking about new research and I do like a bit of science. This study from Konkuk, I hope I'm saying that right, Konkuk University in South Korea, included 30 people who carried out 8 different activities with a dog: meeting, playing, feeding, massaging, grooming, photographing, hugging, and walking. Side note, that's just an average day, isn't it? Back to the research. Brainwaves in the prefrontal, frontal, parietal, and occipital lobes were measured during the activities, and individuals also self-evaluated their mood and emotions. The study showed that the interactions had a positive effect, producing increased brain activity in the areas of relaxation, emotional stability, attention, concentration, and creativity. And playing with a dog particularly enhanced relaxation and concentration. The participants reported experiencing decreased stress levels and more positive emotions. So there you go. You're not just spending time with your dog. You're carrying out vital self-care, attending to your well-being and your mental health. So, until next time, look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com.
dogcast.com. That's D-O-G-C-A-S-T radio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident dogcast radio. That's all one word, dogcast radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com. Did you know dogs really like conjunctions? Oh yes, dogs love butts.